Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, church. My name is Stephen McDonald, in case you're new, and I'm the lead pastor here at Calvary Church. And so we want you to feel at home today. We want to welcome you to our fall kickoff Sunday. Yes, it's the fall. What? Today is also episode one of a brand new September series we're calling The Bystander Effect. But before we jump into today's message, I want to take some time to recognize one of the gifted leaders on our ministry team. Now, he needs little introduction. He's become very well known and loved by our church. Wyatt Herrivel is our director of student ministry here at the church. He started way back, about 5 years ago, as an intern, then interned again, then joined us kind of part-time, and then joined our leadership team almost a couple of years ago. And he has served on my executive team for the past year, and honestly, he's done an outstanding job. And so we love him a bunch. He's done a great job leading our youth and our young adults, and honestly, whatever he puts his hand to do. Now, today is extra special because we're taking the time to recognize the clear call to ministry and his anointed leadership among our Calvary students. Although his responsibilities will remain the same for the most part, his title will change from director to pastor. And so today, Wyatt joins our pastoral team as our Calvary Church student pastor as he completes his studies over the next year at Trinity, and he prepares then for ordination. And so it's very exciting. So when you see him, when you talk to him, please, as I am now, just congratulate him. And so we congratulate you, Wyatt, and or I should say Pastor Wyatt, welcome aboard once again. We're excited about what the future holds. All right, if you got your Bibles, pull it out. We're going to jump into the Word of God today and kick off our series, The Bystander Effect. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30, and we're going to carry through to verse 37. Luke 10, 30 to 37 says this: Jesus replied with a story. Jesus is responding to a group of lawyers who are trying to get him to articulate, even catch him in his words, about who our neighbor is. Who are we responsible to help and assist and serve? And he said, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. Now that's starting to sound hopeful, right? Priest. Surely he's going to slow down and do something. But it says, Jesus said, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and he passed him by. Then a temple assistant, also somebody that we think would stop and help, walked over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed over to the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, an unexpected character in this story. Surely this man will quickly pass by, but when he saw the man, he felt compassion on him. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, took him to a hotel, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins. He said, here's my Amex. Look after this guy. Take care of him. And if his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I'm here. And Jesus said to those that were listening, now which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. You know, a little while back, Susan and I were spending a little bit of R&R and just relaxing, went to Whistler for a couple of days, and we were outside by the pool enjoying the nice weather, and there was plenty of people. It was very crowded. There was lots of people enjoying the sun, doing the same thing that we were doing. There was people reading books, people in the pool with their kids playing with balls and doing what they do, and so it was a fun time. But then I noticed a mom at the far end of the pool who was splashing around with her daughter, and she was having fun. And I then noticed close by, clearly they were together, a man with a smaller little girl who was obviously her smaller daughter, who was talking to her father back and forth, and he just kind of laid down to relax, and she took off, whoo, just like a bullet, and she jumped in the water just behind her mom. And I could see all of this happening very quickly, and Susan was also still in the pool, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that the little girl was struggling. She couldn't swim. And so she was sinking to the bottom of the pool. This little girl was literally drowning 2 feet behind her mom. And so many of the people around the pool, like myself, even though we were looking at a phone, we knew something was wrong. And all of us, I think, were assuming the same thing. Surely the mother's going to see her daughter in distress and save her. And so we all assume somebody else is going to do something about it. And so this is all happening in a split second. But then Susan, who was also in the pool, noticed the same thing that we did, and yet in that split second, she did something different. Maybe it was her preschool training from years ago, but she realized the mom could not see her daughter, and just like that, she reached down, pulled the girl up while also getting the mom's attention at the same time. She was coughing and spitting, and the mother was just like in a panic, but also incredibly relieved that in that moment she was saved. Now, thankfully, in a time where so many people were watching and assuming that somebody else would do something, thankfully, someone did do something. And it's in moments like these that we literally have only seconds to decide whether we will step up and act, or just stand by and watch the whole thing play out. Now, obviously, in life, there are things that will happen that we will see and encounter that we still need to use our wisdom about dropping ourselves into a situation. You can't put those you love at risk or jump in when it's going to cause everyone peril. But in this case, Susan jumped in and saved this little girl's life. This morning, I want to talk to you about serving one another in the context of this series called The Bystander Effect and how it relates to all of us, especially within the church today, whether it's serving one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, or forgiving one another. I believe Jesus is calling each of us to one another better, right? We have room for improvement in all of these areas. Now, the bystander effect is the somewhat controversial name given to the phenomenon in cases where individuals don't offer help in an emergency situation when other people are present. It seems that the greater number of bystanders, the less likely that any one of them will step up to help or to serve. Matter of fact, research shows that the greater number of people that are present, the less likely any of those people are to act. So the more people that were around the pool, the more we all assumed that somebody else, like her parents, is going to do something. Somebody else is going to step in and intervene. Again, thankfully, Susan did. Matter of fact, later in the day, we ran into that family in the lobby of the hotel, and they were still thanking her. Oh, we thank you so much for saving our daughter. It just happened so quickly. They were so greatly relieved that somebody jumped in. Now, the term bystander actually originated back in the 60s when an incident happened, a terrible incident, where a group of people watched a 28-year-old girl on her way home from work in the evening get mugged and actually murdered. It was a horrible story. And not counting the people who were there close by, looking out the window or out of offices or from apartments, They say that just in the immediate vicinity, there was upwards of 38 people who stood there watching, who could have intervened, who could have tried to help, but they decided not to. And the records show that it was probably 30 minutes before anyone even picked up the phone and called the police to report what happened. Like, it's crazy, right? How is that possible that somebody would not respond? So simply defined, a bystander is someone who is present but not participating. They're there, but they're not doing anything. And the prototype in Scripture for the bystander effect can be found in the parable we just read that Jesus used to explain to this group of lawyers about who their neighbor really was. The parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates that everyone is everyone's neighbor, and that help and compassion should be offered to anyone in need of it when we can offer it, regardless of who they are, what their position is, what race they are. If we can offer assistance and compassion, we need to. Now, sadly, for thousands of years, there have been many more people that have not gone and done the same as Christ was instructing in this moment, but have stood by and watched instead of standing up and doing something. You see, the priest and the temple worker, they were bystanders. They were those that were present but not participating. But thank God for the unlikely Samaritan in this story who stood up and took action. He got involved. Susan and I were also out to dinner for a date. And fellas, make sure you keep dating your wife after she says I do. Make sure, it's important. But while we were there sitting in the restaurant, I noticed a couple kind of close to our table who looked like they were probably on a date too. But funny enough, they were so busy looking at their phones that they weren't looking at one another. They weren't even talking to one another. They were just scrolling like mindless zombies scrolling. They were present, but they weren't participating. We live in a society today where people are trying to be present and absent all at the same time. It's impossible, right? People can't even watch television anymore without their phone in their hand. I'm guilty of it too. Or you're watching one thing, but you're like, what else is going on here, right? I need to monitor everything that's going on in the world. It's very difficult to be in the moment, to be present, but also to be somewhere else at the same time. I don't know if you've ever encountered this. Have you ever talked to someone who you're talking to them, they're there, but they're not there? Do you understand what I'm saying? You almost see them drift. They're standing in front of you, but it's clear that their mind is somewhere else entirely. Now, thankfully, in this story, this parable that Jesus told, the Samaritan was very present, body, soul, and spirit. He jumped in where nobody thought he would, and he made a difference. I want to encourage you to never settle for the life of an observer. Never settle for those that are just people in the parade that stand on the side and just watch it go by and don't get involved. Never engaging in the moments that you're in. Whether that's with your loved ones, your children, your spouse, the people that you serve with at church, be present in the moment. Be available to serve when you're called upon. Don't settle for that life of an observer. I think we're all faced with moments like these, especially within the church, because within the church community, like we're blessed with here at Calvary, there's always things that need to be done. And we can be a bystander and stand by and watch other people do it, or we can stand up. We can get involved. We can be a part of the solution to make a difference in the lives of others. From time to time, you're going to see maybe a need pop up on Calvary Connect, which is our online church network. Maybe you'll hear about a need of somebody that's sick or grieving, going through the loss of someone they love in your C group, your small group, or maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe you hear that they're going through a difficult time. Whatever it is, you're faced with an opportunity to respond, to watch it happen and just be an observer, or to stand up and help. See, it's not enough, I believe, to be present. God is calling each one of us to participate, to minister to other people, to care for others, to serve others. It's difficult sometimes when people, and all of us again are guilty of the same thing, but we get so focused on ourselves that we just can't see the moment to help and be kind even. Just to be kind to someone else is a service that more of us need to be aware of. So today I want to encourage you that instead of standing by, I want to challenge you to consider standing up. If everyone continues to wait for someone else to do something, things will never get done. Opportunities will be lost. Oh, the vision offering comes by and we need to improve the building. Somebody else is going to write a check and take care of that. Or is God calling you to do something? You see a need within the church, somebody needs help, or they're calling for a need for those that need to be ministered to. Somebody else is going to take care of that. Well, maybe that someone else is you. So my goal today is to prepare and to encourage you to act on your faith and to say to everyone that surrounds you here at Calvary, hey, let's not be bystanders. Let's not watch it all go by, but let's get involved. Let's be Jesus in the day that we're living in. Because with so many people hurting, with so many people around us that don't know Christ, that haven't experienced his love in a personal way, with so many people living without hope and purpose today, rather than standing by, how about we become those who step up, who stand up and do something about it? People who are seizing every opportunity they've been given to make a difference in the world around them, to bring hope, to bring help, to bring life, to bring encouragement. God wants to work in and through you. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, you can talk about, even brag about your faith until the cows come home. But listen, if you don't act on it, if you don't do something to make a difference, it's just hot air. James actually calls it dead. Faith without works is dead. The two should go hand in hand. For me in my life, I determined a long time ago that I'm not going to stand by, but I'm going to stand up, that I'm going to do something. That's why I said yes to the call of God on my life, to take the good news, the gospel message, not condemnation, not judgment, but the love of God to a dying world, to take the hope of heaven and make it present in a way that people can experience it right where they're at. I chose to believe that, and I got to believe that many of you don't want to waste your life on small and insignificant things, which is why so many people here at the church give their time and serve on Team Calvary, from our Calvary Kids to our Calvary Youth Ministry, from our Sunday worship services to our weekly C groups and Discover classes. Listen, all these things don't just happen. They happen because people say, I'm not going to stand by, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to make a difference. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for you've been called to live in freedom, not to be bound, not to be held in addiction, but to be free. But what are you going to do with that freedom? Here's what the scripture says. You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to what? To serve one another in love, to stand up in love. Not to be an observer, but to stand up and allow your life to be used, to be a committed, passionate man or woman of God that says, I'm going to stand up and serve and do whatever it takes to reach this generation for Jesus and not be a bystander. Don't allow yourself to become a part of the bystander effect. I don't want to be a statistic on that side of the fence. Don't wait for other people to act. Listen, if you see a need today, if you see a need this week, stand up. Do something about it. We need more people like that will meet that need in Jesus' name. There are people waiting to see the real Jesus stand up in you. Our city, our neighbors are waiting for you to be involved, to show hope. There's people that may not ever have an opportunity to read scripture or attend a church service like this, but they can see Jesus in you. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of their struggles, you can be a voice of love and kindness and compassion. You can make a difference. Will we walk by the need, or will we slow down and get involved? All of us at one time or another have hesitated. Maybe we've waited, right? Like everybody did around the pool that day, waiting for someone else to do something. But I believe those have been missed opportunities for God to work in and through your life. Because when we go from standing by to standing up, we create this opportunity for God to do something significant, something life-changing. St. Augustine once said this, "We cannot without God, and he will not without us." This is a powerful statement. And like David in 1 Samuel 17, listen, with courage we can stand up while others are standing by and allow God to move through our lives so that we can see giants come crashing down. David knew that on a day like that, there was a whole lot of people standing by, just observing what's somebody else going to do. David wasn't one of them. He said, "How can you let this guy scream out and talk about the armies of God like this? We got to do something." David took what little he had in his hand and made history that day, because he was willing not to be a bystander, but to stand up and with God's strength make a difference. The truth is, most of the time in our life, we overthink and we underact. We just think about it so much that we never do anything, which is a tragedy. And Matthew 5 tells us that we're called to be salt and light to this world, to stand up instead of stand by. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to make a difference. We're thankful that you didn't stand by and watch the world spiral into darkness, but that you stood up. You came to earth, and in love you gave your life so that we could live beyond the power of sin and have the hope that only comes through knowing you as our personal Lord and Savior. I pray today for those that may be in church or in life, are present but not participating. I pray that we would follow your lead, because not only were you present, but you very much participated in the solution to the darkness in our lives. I pray for those that are watching today on this broadcast that they would move beyond thinking to the point of action, that they would say, "Lord, just come into my life, fill my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Help me to reproduce after you, to be a person of kindness and compassion and love, to make a difference, to be an ambassador of hope wherever we go." We pray that this new season of ministry as we step into the fall will be filled with opportunities that we will recognize and step into. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. We'll see you again next Sunday. We're excited to step into this fall together. Let's see what he will do when we do it together. God's best.